Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part 4 of a multi-part series entitled Epiphany, and today's specific message is entitled Offensive, and it is based off of Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. Let us dive into the Word today. Then he began to speak to them. The scriptures you've just heard have been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be? They asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? Then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning, do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth. No prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly, there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath, in the land of Sidon. And many in Israel had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha. But the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen. We all like good news, right? Think of some of the good news you've received lately. Perhaps it was news of a new child or grandchild. Perhaps it was of a promotion at your job. Perhaps it was of an engagement, perhaps someone else's engagement, maybe your engagement. Perhaps it was the good news of a return to health, or that of someone who was long suffering a terminal illness, had passed away, and is now at peace. Bittersweet, but good news all the same. I remember the good news that came following the graduation from Chubb Institute with a business programming diploma. The good news was that they had found me a job relatively close to home from where I lived, at a company that specialized in home automation. Now, this was back in 2003, so it was at the beginnings of that market. I mean, the iPhone and such technology hadn't even existed. There was no such thing as a smartphone back then. So this is at the cusp of that, the beginning of that technology. And at that job, I was not only working on developing and maintaining the code for automating home movie theaters, lights, security systems, etc., but was also traveling around the country to places like Indianapolis, Las Vegas, and other places. Traveling around the country to industry conventions, trying to introduce our product to potentially new, high-paying customers and or contractors. It was some pretty exciting stuff. And all of this right after I'd gotten out of school with my diploma from the Chubb Institute, which is a pretty well-established, well-renowned technical institute. So for me, getting this job was good news. And we all like good news, right? In fact, we love good news when it favors us. But what happens? What happens when the good news is actually bad news for you? At the start of today's scripture, we see that Jesus had finished presenting the good news to the synagogue in Nazareth. Now remember, Nazareth was Jesus' hometown. This is the town he grew up in as a boy. This is the town who nurtured him, loved him, looked forward to him being a child in the church. You know what I mean? A child in the synagogue, right? We all love children in our churches. This is one of those children coming back home to share God's message with his own people. He tells them, if you remember from last week, that he has come to proclaim the good news to the poor, which are the undesirables, to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor had come. And then, after rolling up the scroll, because he was reading from the book of Isaiah, after rolling up the scroll, he then sat down, all eyes were on him, and he told them that those words had been fulfilled in their hearing. Now, today's scripture tells us that the people were amazed at his teaching, and they spoke well of Jesus. This is the guy that we saw grow up. This is the son of Joseph. This is that guy, and look at him now. There was nothing wrong to these people. There was nothing wrong with God helping the poor Jews, setting the Jewish captives free, healing the Jews who were stricken with blindness. And every Jew was awaiting the day that they would no longer suffer under Roman occupation and oppression. They had been long occupied by Rome, and they couldn't wait for that day. They couldn't wait for the day of the Lord's Messiah, God's Messiah, to come in from the line of David and to throw out the oppressors and to rule and establish God's kingdom in Israel once more. Good news, right? Indeed, it is good news, Jesus proclaims. And no doubt, because I am here, you'll want proof that I am not a fake. You'll want me to put God to, you will want to put God to the test through me and have me perform a miracle for you in order for you to believe. You'll say, physician, heal yourself. Do those miracles that you've done in those other towns. Why not do them for us so we can see too? In other words, Jesus knew that their focus was on themselves, not on the big picture, and that their hearts were hardened. They didn't believe. They were anxious to be given proof. They wanted to see for themselves. They had heard a lot about this guy that they watched grow up from a boy, and they wanted to see it for themselves. What's more, even if they had believed, they wanted the good news to be their good news. Not good news that they had to share with people they didn't like. Not good news that they had to share with those who were unworthy of them, aka those undesirables. So Jesus informs them that they're not going to get that proof or that special favor they desire. Instead, he points to how God has favored the outsiders, the undesirables, and he points to proof within the scriptures that God has always desired the outsiders, such as the widow from Zarephath in Sidon and the Syrian general Naaman, who was an enemy of Israel, waging war against them, killing Israelites, if you read the scriptures closely. Those are the people Jesus points to show God's miraculous signs of what's to come, to show what God's favor actually means. These were people who would have been despised by the Jews as Gentiles and unclean and impure, and even in the case of Naaman, evil. And yet God showed them his favor And through that, they were healed and included into God's covenant. The people were so offended by this good news that they kicked Jesus out of the synagogue and tried to push him off a cliff. Wow, right? Talk about a total 180. First, they're hailing him and they're amazed. And they're about to shout out, "Show us a sign." Jesus knew this. They're amazed with him. They can't believe this is that little kid they saw grow up. Now, all of a sudden, they want to push him off a cliff. Think about that for a moment. Sisters and brothers, we love good news when it favors us. But that is not the good news at all. That is not the gospel. Rather, the good news is inclusive of everyone, especially the undesirables and undeserving. I want you to think about who are the undesirables in our context. Who are they? Maybe they're the physically poor, but maybe they're the immigrant. Maybe they're those who are strung out on drugs. Maybe they're those who are in the LGBTQ community. Maybe they're those who are ostracized for this or that reason. Whoever they are, those are the people God favors. And for those with unreceptive hearts, that's offensive. It becomes bad news. That is why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are saved know it is the very power of God." It's offensive because the good news is the salvation of those unworthy of being saved. By the way, if you really want to understand how this is good news for us, whether we think it's bad or not, if you really want to understand how this is good news for us, that's you and me. We are all unworthy of being saved. Every human who's ever lived is unworthy of being saved. We are totally unworthy of God's love, yet God loves us anyway. Good news. Right? Great news. What makes us think that we're now all of a sudden, because we're saved, we're all of a sudden separate from everybody else and that nobody else counts? What makes us think that only my kind of sinner is allowed into the covenant? What makes us think that only my kind of unworthy is allowed into the covenant? Friends, let us be challenged to not see ourselves above anyone else, no matter their wealth, their status, or any other degree of separation. We're not the judge of sin, for we are the sinner. Amen? Let us instead be honest with ourselves about our unworthiness, really honest. For we know the ways we fall short of God's glory. We know our deepest and our darkest sins. Let us with all humility embrace the offensive good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the very power of God, whether we are offended or not. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. We thank you for saving us, even though we are unworthy of that. Soften our hearts, Lord. Let us recognize that the good news is for all people. Let us stop determining what other people's sins are and start seeing the divine image in everyone, recognizing that you are the only judge of sin and that your judgment is merciful and loving and compassionate and caring. that you give each and every one of us ample opportunity to just respond to you. And in responding to you, Lord, you save us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I would like to thank you for tuning in to this podcast to this episode, Offensive. Again, it's a multi-part, it's part four of a multi-part series called Epiphany, and there will be another message next week. So I hope you will tune in then. I would like to invite you, if you listen on iTunes or in any of the formats, I would like to invite you to like us, to rate our podcast. The more ratings we get, the more people will be able to find us and listen to our messages. So if you truly appreciate our message, if you truly appreciate this podcast, then I would definitely invite you to rate us and like us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, wherever you listen. Also, you can check out our podcast website, my Life-Giving Water message, or my Life-Giving Water Devotions website, and also the Party on Johncast, all of which are listed in your episode notes. So check those out. In the meantime, friends, I want to remind you that you are richly blessed, so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.